ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 12. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. First book of the Bible is Job, as far as time is concerned, in writing. So understand, the angels are going to look into, and they're always scratching their head and saying, whoa, okay. But here we see them actually asking some questions, drawing near. I think that's a pretty good takeaway for us. Verse 7 says, the man clothed with linen said it would be when the Antichrist had shattered their power, which is their pride and their unbelief. And verse 8 says, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I. Now this is Daniel. He's asking the same question again. But what shall be the end of these things? Daniel asks this over and again because he loves his people. What shall be the end? And it's kind of a very gracious and condescending, and condescending not in the bad sense, but in getting down on a knee and being gentle with Daniel. It's kind of a very gentle way and loving way. The Bible says, and I heard, but I understood not. In verse 9, he says, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed. Now, this could be a rebuke because he told him at the end of chapter 8, these are sealed words. You're not going to understand it. In chapter 8, the very last verse, it says, I was sick a number of days and no one understood it. He was sharing this. He was worried about understanding this. He thought, God wants me to understand this. Well, the Bible says, go your way. The words are closed up and sealed again till the time of the end. Till the time of the end of Jacob's oblivion that they have going on inside of their core. And look at verse 10. It says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Are you wise tonight? Do you understand? We're wiser than we once were. Isn't it amazing to consider, as wise as Daniel was, we understand more than he did because of where we get to stand. We oftentimes think, wow, they're great. And boy, what things it must have been to see this vision, like Isaiah, I saw the Lord, and Daniel and different. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We've got this whole blueprint laid out in front of us. And we have the Holy Spirit teaching us and leading us into truth. Isn't that cool? Because when you have that understanding, it gives you a galvanized ability to stand when the wind is blowing very hard. Right now it's picking up, isn't it? Feeling it. And we need to have our feet firmly on the ground. But I want to point out something about this verse. If you remember, this echoes chapter 11, where the Bible says, in chapter 11, verses 33 to 35, talking about they that shall understand shall teach many. Remember that? It was talking about the Maccabees. What did the Maccabees do? Well, after Antiochus Epiphanes came in and started harassing God's people and desecrated the temple and put a pig and an idol of Zeus in there, the Maccabees said, we can't have this. And they began pushing back against Epiphanes. And I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. I don't know if you've read those books by LaHaye. The first book's called Left Behind. The second book's called The Tribulation Force. Where did they get that? They got it from this. Okay, there are going to be people pushing back against the Antichrist. Many are going to be beheaded. Look at chapter 11, verse 33. The Bible says, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. That's the Maccabees. You should read the Maccabees. It's good history. It's not Bible, but it's good history. Read it. Listen to it. It's free out there because it's not something that's copyrighted. People are reading it online. You can even get that professional readers. But read it. It's amazing. I was like, wow, this is like an adventure. These guys are standing up for God. And it's a whole family line. And the Bible says that they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword, by flame, by captivity, by spoil, many days. In other words, they're going to keep falling on the sword. In fact, they would not fight in the beginning on the Sabbath day. And because they wouldn't fight Antiochus, he would use that against them. And the people would be hanging out in the caves, and they'd go in and burn them. They'd burn them alive in the caves on the Sabbath day. pretty soon the Maccabees got together and said, well, we can't do this anymore. We need to fight. We need to be fighting every day. And that's a lot like what they tried to do with the Yom Kippur War. And they thought, well, they'll be preoccupied or something. But they were ready because they had intelligence. Now, the Bible says in verse 34, now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. That's the Hanukkah, for one thing, but it's also the miracles of various victories that they have. And if you read them, they will have done exploits in that history. Verse 35, and some of them of the understanding shall fall because they'll be killed. Why? To try them. Why does God test his people? Because he wants to know what's in us? No, he knows what's in us. So they will know what's in us. Okay? By their fruit you shall know them. Will you also go away? Remember? All the people left when they began to mock. What, eat your flesh, drink your blood? I don't even know what to do with that. What is all this blood thing? And the people went away. Well, you also know, you have the words of life. To whom shall we go? So it's to try them, to purge. These are the same exact words as in chapter 12. That's my point. Where he says they're going to be purged, tried, and made white. And that is in verse 10 of chapter 12. Purify them. Now, this is probably more specifically dealing with the people of the tribulation who are going to be beheaded. Great multitude. Chapter 7 comes out of great tribulation. And what we're seeing here is probably a look forward to that. But that does not mean that we do not own the mantle of Philippians chapter 1, I think it's verse 29. It says, unto you has not only been granted that you should believe, but also that you should suffer for his sake. Why does God try us? Not just to show us what's in us, but to show the world what's in us. Because when the world sees us suffering nobly and honorably and just willingly, they begin to take note because they say there's something different about that individual. And it says, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. This kind of has hints to my mind of those final verses in the book of Revelation 22. It says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And it says, they that are filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Because it's all going to be set. And when these people go through it, the wicked are going to do wickedly. Powerful concept. And the Bible says in verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that make it desolate set up, and this is not talking about the Zeus statue and Antiochus slaughtering a pig. This is talking about 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, if you want to put that in that margin right by that verse, because that is 2 Thessalonians 2, where he himself sits on the Ark of the Covenant, it would seem, right there at the throne of God and declares himself to be God. He is the one who desecrates it. And there may be more to it than we know, but at least there's that, because that is stated specifically in 2 Thessalonians. He's going to declare himself to be God, sitting where he ought not. Well, the Bible says then, from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, which is when the Antichrist, future, still future for us and all people, it says, and from the time of this daily sacrifice being taken away, and the abomination that make it desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days, not 1260, because God's going to bring the sheep and the goats in. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, probably in the temple, okay, one that he cleans up right now, because it's the throne of his glory on earth, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Armageddon wipes out armies, but there are relatives of those armies. Okay, there are husbands, wives, children, and all these nations are going to be brought before the Lord Jesus, and within 30 days he will have sorted the mail. Okay, it says he's going to divide the nations as the shepherd divides sheep from the goats. It says, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them that are on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Not for us, for them. It's going to be a group of people, tribulation saints, are going to be stumbling out of the dust, out of the muck and the mire of that day, wounds and heat that had been on them is noted at the end of chapter 7 in Revelation. It says the sun shall not smite them, thirst will not be upon them anymore. Those people are going to come out of great tribulation and they're going to collect themselves, be healed up, and wounds are going to be dressed, and then Jesus is going to allow them to be a human race. In contrast to you and me, who will be glorified saints coming back on the earth, we will be celestial beings, they will be terrestrial beings, and they will procreate for 1,000 years. They're going to have babies, and the babies are going to have babies, and the whole world's going to be filled for 1,000 years while Satan is bound. Okay, so it's a kingdom prepared for them. It was prepared for you. You're just right on time, okay, because I knew the end from the beginning, Jesus could say to them. What we're seeing here is we're seeing him say 1,290 days, because he's saying from the time that the one thing happens to the other thing, this is right at the time when Israel has been converted. There's probably a trickling of Israelites getting saved. But when the breakneck moment, when the Mount of Olives splits, the Bible says then all Israel will be saved. It's Romans 11, I think it's verse 24. All Israel will be saved in one day. Now, there are people who are going to be saved, you know, all throughout our church age, but it's a trickle. Now it's going to be all at once. And it talks about 1,290 days, not 1,260, because there's going to be a separating goat. But that's their being saved and also all the nations being corrected and everything. But then it says, not only is there 1,290 days, because 30 days to take care of the sheep and the goats thing, but now he's going to put together his administration. He's going to say, you get 10 cities, you get 5 cities, you were faithful over this, you get that many. And the Bible says, blessed is he, verse 12, that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. That's another 45 days tagged on. Why? Because those 45 days are his putting together his administration. Understand, Jesus knows his timeline. He has a plan. I was doing a job today, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, I'll be able to do this today. I'll be able to get done today. I actually looked at it and said, I don't have enough goods to do the job, but I can do this. And I called in, I said, I don't know what, and he gave, go for it, and I knew I could do it in the day. I knew that. Jesus knows how long it's going to take him to judge the sheep and the goats, okay? And he knows how long it's going to take for him to set up his administration. Some of the most wonderful words I've heard in recent years on human level came from the book Glorious Appearing. In the radio drama, when Jesus came back and all these saints that have been fighting the fight through the tribulation come before Jesus, it's like they all have a personal audience with him at the same time. Okay, they're just like, you're like sitting there, one's falling, oh Lord, he says, I know, it's me. No. I didn't mean to do it. No, it's me. It's me. Rayford, it's me. Rayford, it's me. And you just get goosebumps watching this go on, unfold. You guys need to go there. Good stuff. But the reality is he knows how long it's going to take. He says, seal the book up. Verse 13 says, go thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. You shall stand in your lot, Daniel, in the end of the 1,335 days. In the end of those days, you're going to be there. That's how that book ends. Isn't that good? You're going to stand in your lot in the end of the days. Because those are getting down to it. He wanted to know the time of the end, and that was big. But now he gets real specific and he's slicing like a CAT scan, little slices. Days, days. And Daniel, I'm going to give you this. You're going to sleep. It's going to be okay. But you're going to go your way and sleep. Then you're going to stand in your lot at the end of days. Praise God for his word. How powerful.
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.